You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Burnout is a feeling so many Idahoans can relate to these days, from the political upheaval in the country and then the anxiety that comes with trying to get through the COVID-19 pandemic to the economic instability in the face of these two crises. Well, guess what? There's a lot to feel exhausted by. Writer Anne Helen Peterson knows quite a bit about exhaustion. Her recent book, Can't Even, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation, was a pre-pandemic exploration of this issue. Now, she's written opinion pieces in the New York Times on how the pandemic has changed our working lives. And in her weekly newsletter, Peterson writes about everything from accessing the COVID vaccine to dating, as well as friendship during quarantine. So culture writer Anne Helen Peterson is here with us now live to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Hi, and I'm also an Idahoan. I always like to mention that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because that goes far. So can we talk about burnout in the pandemic? What are you hearing from folks when it comes to really feeling that sense of exhaustion?
You know, I tweeted the other day that I felt like the days were melting even more than usual lately.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are feeling that as well because, you know, a lot of it has to do with just the fact that we're in winter and whatever sort of outdoor safe socializing that was possible before, that it's just more and more difficult. And also just, you know, it's dark a lot. And so I think a lot of people are really holed up in their houses even more than before. And then we have this incredible lack of knowledge about when anything's going to change. Like it's always felt really unknowable. But right now, especially with the vaccine rollout, I think a lot of people are like, is it March? Is it going to be summer that I get a vaccine? It's just really difficult.
So let's talk a little bit more about these kind of unknown factors, right? Because I think you've just hit the nail on the head for so many people is it's not just even like, when will I get the vaccine? I mean, frankly, it's kind of like, when is this going to be over? Is it ever going to be over? Will we ever not wear masks again? Right? How does that play into this burnout feeling? Because it's almost like mental exhaustion.
Yes. And you know, one thing that when people ask me, you know, what does burnout feel like or what are its characteristics? I think one of the biggest ones is there's a lack of catharsis. So there's no moment where you're like, okay, I finished this and now I'm going to have a real substantive rest. And then I'm going to come back rejuvenated to do whatever task, whether that task is parenting or, you know, something athletic or the one that most people are thinking about, work, right? And I think right now, it's so difficult to think of a moment where we will have that sort of catharsis. And so because you can't make any sort of plans and you can't even think of a time when you will feel relief, like it just feels almost reckless to even start thinking that way, that's really difficult.
I think it's fair to say that, I mean, from a historical perspective, people have weathered worse pandemics than what we're going through. And that may be hard to fathom right now, but it's true. So culturally, do you think that there's something specific in this moment, and I'm talking specifically in the United States, that's challenging us to deal with all of these unknowns?
You know, I think there's a lot of contradictory messaging, and I know that people in Idaho certainly feel this. I was watching a TikTok yesterday that was kind of poking fun at the fact that California just rescinded the stay-at-home
order.
Yeah. And how like the messaging really is like, stay at home. There's a new virus, like variant of the virus, but also go out, but also stay home, but also go out, right? Like spend and support, but also keep incredibly close to home and don't expose yourself to any sort of risk. And so trying to heed those two calls at once can lead to a lot of confusion. And then also just people being like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do what I want, right? So either people shut down and just are really, really isolated, or as I think we've seen in a lot of places, they're like, well, I'm just going to live my life.
So I mentioned in the intro that you have a book out, Can't Even, and it focused on the millennial generation. But you actually wrote this before the pandemic. So if you were writing it now, Would you talk about the topic of burnout differently, or is it still similar?
You know, the thing about burnout and the way that I talk about it in the book is that I think that millennials were positioned by just our age, right? Like where we graduated into the recession, into the after effects of the Great Recession, plus a bunch of just different shifts in economic policy and stuff like the fact that we have so much more student debt than generations before. There's all these different characteristics, statistics that make it so that burnout really consolidates on the millennial generation. But that does not mean that it doesn't also extend to people who are outside of that generation.
Right.
So I think that actually the pandemic, especially for people who are working from home for the first time, has introduced people outside of the millennial generation to some of these concepts, right? Like the fact that work really expands to fill any space that it is given. So if you're at home and you don't have any boundaries on like when work stops and life begins, it's so easy to let it fill everywhere.
So you wrote something recently that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and you wrote about middle-class working moms during the pandemic and how, frankly, we are shouldering so much of the labor when it comes to education and childcare. But this is on top of, as I mentioned, we're working moms, right? So this is on top of our daily 9-to-5 jobs. What are you hearing in these interviews with these women? Because I know for me personally, you talk about burnout. It's all of that, right? I mean, and I feel like it shows, I mean, we've all, as women, I think we've always known that there is not equity, right? And I think that we've wanted to gloss it over and say, well, see how far we've come. I mean, in fact, there's finally a woman in the White House as vice president. It's like, yeah, but we're still shouldering so much of the burden, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that's become incredibly apparent, that has been apparent for people, to people for a long time, is our society is still organized as if there is one person in the home who is not working.
Right.
And I think that you know, it's become apparent that that is just not feasible, right? And we have to make some changes in the way that we arrange the school day, the way that we conceive of care, the way that the flexibility that we allow to working moms and working dads in order to make up for the fact that that's just not the case anymore. And it hasn't been the case for some time, but we've been really inflexible in changing to accommodate that. You know, one thing that I've seen recently, in Seattle, it is possible for people who are 65 and up to access the vaccine. It's been opened up to that age group. But it's a really labyrinthian process to get registered. It involves a lot of websites and clicking on different things. And the people who I know who have been getting those appointments, it's their kids who've been doing it. So these are almost entirely women that I know in their 30s and 40s who have been navigating these spaces, who have been like almost treating it as a full-time job, trying to get the first appointment, then trying to schedule the second appointment. And it's not a coincidence that labor of, you know, caring for the parent and trying to figure out how do we make all of this work, that it falls on these women who are also moms.
You know, I think that we could honestly, I could at least talk about this topic all hour. But putting aside politics and policy for a moment, I'm curious from a cultural writer standpoint, as a writer, what is sticking with you when it comes to the burdens that are being put on working moms during the pandemic?
I mean, I wish that there was like another word that expressed burnout, but like another level altogether, right?
Totally. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. You're preaching. Like, you're preaching to me. I get it. Yeah.
Like so beyond that point, you know, I don't have kids, but I feel it, right? And if I'm not trying to juggle, you know, remote schooling for my children, I'm not trying to think about, okay, so what are the risks that are involved in my kids if they're going to school, if they're doing that every day? And I think that we actually have yet to really grapple with the ramifications when and if this actually is over, you know, how much that how that stress and trauma is actually going to manifest. Like, it's not just going to disappear. There are going to be real effects of this year that we have spent in isolation and in fear and overworked and overstressed. And I think that we need to start thinking about, okay, what is it going to look like moving forward?
Well, and then as a mom, then on top of that, you think about how it will affect your children. Everything you just said, as you were saying it, I was thinking, well, I'm more worried about how all of that will then affect my children, right? So that's just one more level of stress that moms feel.
Right. And I think that is how moms in particular have been trained to think of any sort of crises. Instead of thinking about how is this affecting me, mm-hmm. it's deferring to how is this going to affect my kids. And I think like a couple of weeks ago, there was this article in the New York Times that was really pretty doomsday about what screen time and video games are doing to kids. And instead of focusing on, well,
if mom needs to work, that's what we need to do. Okay.
Right. And also, like, you know, I don't mean to underplay the fact that like there are negative effects to having increased screen time and that sort of thing. But kids are incredibly resilient.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we need to be more forgiving of ourselves. And also, you know, a friend of mine said a couple months ago, like, lower the bar and then lower it again and then lower it again. And
just
it's
keep
fine.
Lowering it. It's it'll be it's look, at my house it's on the floor. And I'm really okay with that. Before I let you go, I do want to quickly talk about the fact that, as you mentioned, you were raised in Idaho in Lewiston. Mm-hmm. And you still keep up on what's happening here in Idaho. So I'm curious about what you're interested in when it comes to just not Idaho's culture, but our politics of the day.
Well, you know, I'm more interested actually in the fact that like Montana recently made a switch, like this last election, the swing seems to be that we are becoming more like Idaho. I live full-time in Missoula, and mm-hmm. that to me is pretty interesting. Having watched the trajectory of Idaho politics, which, you know, as recently as 20, 25 years ago, we're pretty purple. And so I'm fascinated is perhaps the right word to see what's going to become of a state like Montana that prided itself on its purple politics.
Right.
And what happens too, as the more fringe and extreme elements of the Republican Party in particular come into play. You know, I'm sure your listeners have been aware that there is an effort right now to impeach. You can't impeach a governor, to impeach Governor Little.
Yes, we're quite aware.
But I think that there is some of that trickle down of Trumpism. Like, how is that showing up in legislatures in a way that is perhaps unprecedented? Mm. And I'm interested, as always, in what is the difference between what's happening down near Boise and what's happening, you know, up in the panhandle where my mom lives. And even something like vaccine distribution, it seems like at least there is there's more system to what's going on in Boise and a little bit more transparency and accessibility, whereas I think it's still really opaque and difficult for people mm-hmm. in North Idaho to know what's going on.
I think that if you haven't lived in different parts of the state, I think sometimes it's very easy to forget, honestly, how different Boise, the greater Boise area, is from other parts of the state. So I think that's a really good point. I need to let you go, but I do want folks to know that you're actually working on a new book about working from home. So. Yeah. Looking forward to that, because once again, right, when will that change, or will it, is the question.
It will. So,
yeah. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed our conversation.
You too. Thank you again.
Absolutely. We've been talking with writer Ann Helen Peterson. We will link her newsletter. It's called Culture Study on our website at boisestatepublicradio.org. More Idaho Matters next.